Hallelujah. Father, we worship you and we bless you and we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for your goodness to us tonight. Thank you for the power of your word and thank you for the people that are present here to hear that word. Father, we must depend upon the Holy Ghost, present tense and always. Lord, it's on him that we rely. And in Jesus' name, give us this grace. We thank you that this is not only for this body, but for the entire body of Christ throughout the world that will be listening to these messages. And we give you all the praise and glory and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You get an offering or an opportunity at the end of the service to give. If you'd like to give tonight, we would really appreciate that. And we thank you so much always. Somebody remind me, present tense, we don't feel led right now. So just want to make a few announcements. Sunday night at 6 p.m., we're going to have another teaching lesson service for the young adults. And so just want to encourage you. We'll make that announcement again Sunday, and I'm sure Homer is announcing that to the young adults, or will be. So everybody that wants to be here doesn't have to be young adults. Everybody's young. How old are you when you're old around here? 100. 100. So we've decided that. So praise God. We really don't have any old people in our church. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty cool. Jim and Kathy Martin will be here a week from this Sunday. So that's coming up real close, real fast, isn't it? So, amen. And so I'm excited. We're going to have some good services. Praise the Lord. Gary Carpenter wanted me to tell you guys, he's in every service. He said he's all caught up. He listened to every service last year, I think. And he's listened to every service so far this year. And he said, man, I'm all caught up. He said, if anybody sits in my seat at your church, he goes, I'm there every service. And he said, they dang sure better not. And he goes, you can use the word dang too. He said, they dang better not sit in my seat. So we appreciate Gary listening in, and that's quite an honor. And I'd say, too, also in regards to just thinking about Gary, Gary is on a healing series since the beginning of the year. And I'm not totally caught up. I have listened to some, and, man, I'm excited about listening to the rest. They're very, very powerful. Candy's, I think, all caught up. But I would encourage you to go on his website and listen to those services. They're very, very powerful. And, boy, it's just something that's right along with the revival message and where we're headed. Amen. I haven't heard you guys say it in a couple of weeks, so would you repeat with me? I say, Immokalee is in revival. I say, Immokalee is in revival. Present tense. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, and thousands are born again in this outpouring. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to continue on in our lessons on preparing for the harvest. I don't know when these will be over. I'm not in control of everything. I just work here and just listen. And whatever he says to do, I do it. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. Tonight's actually lesson 14. That's amazing. We've really enjoyed over the last, I bet it's now been almost a year and a half where we've been in series, a lot of series. It gives us the opportunity on a weekly basis to just compound things, just continue to build and build on the structure. So tonight's lesson is lesson 14, and it's going to be no previous record. No previous record. And I never in my whole life was ever used to giving titles, but for the purpose of teaching, I've found especially that to be something that people can tag and go to real quick. And I just want to tell you guys, all of you, and the social media team, especially, just what's going on. We sit in here, and we're blessed, and we have full services sometimes, and sometimes sparse, somewhat services. But I talked to a young couple. The man I talked to, the man part of the couple, person this afternoon, and I've been in contact with this particular individual. I'm not going to mention his name on tape right now or on the video, for reasons that you'll find out in the future. But these people are really serious about the possibility of moving here, and they're making plans, present tense. I'm here to help them in the very near future. They'll be down here this weekend and just spying out the land. I'm going to probably talk to some of our young adults, and hopefully some of them will be available, you know, to go out with us, with them. And they just seem like a really wonderful, wonderful couple. They're from Alabama. But I said all that to say this. He was talking to me today, and he was talking about, and they'll be traveling down this weekend, but he was talking about the effect that the YouTube messages have been having in their life. And then he said, Pastor, he said, we get this, and we're feeding on those things, and we're hearing these things, and then we turn right around and we share it with somebody else, and they share it with somebody else. And it's really cool. It's just really cool. And so we are so thankful. Not that myself, is being heard, or Homer, or it's not about us, it's about him. And I just sincerely mean that with all my heart, and God's promoting this, and we just really appreciate it. So it's going a lot further than what we can presently understand at the moment, and we're so thankful for it. I'm in awe. I really am in awe about it. And some of the stuff that you guys are telling me, that how that things are just blowing up, and just hundreds of, you know, of people tuning in and watching some of our posts. So it's great. Hallelujah. I want to go in for probably, maybe, 10 minutes, hopefully. Lord Jesus, help us to stay on point. And just review last week just a little bit and bring us up to speed and get ready for tonight's lesson. Last week, we titled that Suddenly, and this is all about revival. This is all about us going in to receiving this kingdom that Christ left and walking in that kingdom. How many of you enjoyed Miss Barbara's testimony last week? She must be working tonight, but it was so fantastic. It was really, really a powerful testimony. We got her up here, and then she started challenging me. So that was really cool. You know, how old are you? And I said, well, I thought to myself, I didn't get you up here for that. No, I'm just kidding. Don't tell her I said that. Yeah, you can. But we're preparing for the harvest, and it's so good to hear other people's testimonies. By the way, I talked to Ralph this afternoon. He's doing really good. He's out of ICU. He's in a room of his own. And so just keep praying for him. And he was, for those of you that didn't know, Ralph was taken to the hospital yesterday on his own. And he's in North Collier. He never had experiences before. He said never in his life had he had any kind of blood sugar problems. And they came back, and I thought it was higher. This is high enough to be death on wheels. It was like 620. And so they had to work on that. And so they're getting that down. But he's confessing what he needs to confess, and he's doing good. So, amen. Keep praying for Ralph. So last week, we're going to talk just a little bit about that. We were talking about the subject of suddenly and bring it into an understanding of where we're at and how that this thing can happen in just a moment's time, and how that we should look forward to and have a really an expectation of what God wants to do. Hope, that was probably one of the key parts to what we were talking about. Smith Wigglesworth, I'll remind you of these keynotes, and we'll just kind of skip over it and then get into tonight's lesson. Smith Wigglesworth said that the secret of faith was that produced miracles was first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And so what that means is that's that progression. If we're going to see, and what he said when they asked him, how'd you ever get to where you're at? That was his answer. First the blade, it was a biblical answer, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. That's the same, that's the parallel with 30, 60, and 100-fold. In other words, if you progress and keep progressing and stay in the Word and let the maturation, the maturing of the Word stay in you, if you don't get sidetracked and you just stay in there and keep enduring, you will go. It's inevitable that you will go 30, 60, and 100. Now, sometimes it looks like there's an argument against the church, like, will the church ever have revival? It is impossible that it does not. It's impossible. There's an absolute, against all odds, generation, both in the Old and in the New Testament, that absolutely is picturesque. It absolutely shows that there is a group that is standing, however you want to say it, standing in the fullness of everything that he left when he comes back. And so I believe that that revival is present tense. I do believe that. I believe that we already have seen some things. Listen, what we saw in November is a Red Sea crossing miracle. That's equivalent. The changing of the guard that took place against all odds was equivalent, really, to something you'd read about in the Bible. It was a biblical miracle. It really was. It just absolutely, I don't think Satan himself actually knew what was going to take place. I believe that he obviously, he doesn't know everything, so I think it really took him by surprise. In present tense, he's throwing a tremendous fit. Praise God for this past week that a woman named Betsy DeVos was voted in as the Secretary of Education, and there is a certain group in America that is going crazy over that, because the bottom line is this: they fear that she'd even go as far as getting prayer back in schools, and that just absolutely cannot happen on their watch. They think that that's so. They're very hysterical. But I say all that to say this: things have begun to take place that are so far beyond the ordinary of what seems to be in the realms of possibility, that there are supernatural factors at work that we've never seen before, that I've never even seen in my lifetime. I never thought, based on the beginning of what I saw 8 years ago, I never thought that there was any possibility of ever retrieving or ever putting somebody in the position of leadership that would ever be a conservative again. I thought it was completely gone. That took me by surprise. It honestly took me by surprise. So what I'm saying is there are elements that are taking place that are different. We're in a different time zone spiritually than we've ever been before. So it's important for us to continue to go forward. The Bible defines this one particular word, and if I don't watch myself, I'll preach all of last week's and not get into this week's. So, Lord help me in that area. The one thing I do have to reiterate is this: the essence of hope. The essence of hope. Hope is defined as in the Bible, and there's many verses in the New Testament concerning hope, but hope is defined as the expectation of something that is about to happen. It is an ingredient. If you put in the mixture, if you're putting in the recipe of faith, and you want to know how do you get to somewhere, the recipe of faith is this: the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where is the substance of things hoped for? It's not on the outside because it can't be seen, but it is a substance. And hope is this. The definition of hope, according to the Greek, is this. It's an expectation. It's not a wish. It's not, I wish this happens. Human hope, when somebody talks to you and talks about hope, I'm hoping, almost nobody understands or defines hope. Even when they're talking about, I'm hoping for something to take place, and they put God in the mix of it, they're not defining hope as hope is. Hope is one of the necessary, absolute necessary ingredient of faith. And hope is expectation. And I will say this, according to definition and everything that you look at, because when I look at these, you can get it too. You know, I can give you the references, but you can go to Strong's and look at what the simple, they'll give you like a two or three, you know, sentence definition, and that pretty much capsulizes it. But I've got books where, you know, it may be 2.5-3 pages of blah, blah, blah. Well, I can tell you something about hope. Hope also, it is an expectation, and it is a, I'll put this is my paraphrase, it is a present tense expectation. It's a present tense expectation. Now, I said this last week, and I think this probably is one of the most important parts concerning hope and where we're, what I'm trying to get after tonight to progress to. I said this last week. I'll repeat it again. For us to receive the outpouring, we have to live in hope, which is one of the strongest elements of faith, which is present tense expectation. And I said this, please, don't trade off endurance. Don't trade off hope for endurance. They both collaborate and work perfectly together. And our message tonight is not endurance. Obviously, this church has existed, and most of you've made it this far on, I don't know that I even pronounce it quite correct. It's either hupomene or hufamene or something very close, and it does mean consistency, and I've put with it the force of consistency, but, and there it's a powerful, powerful force. We're not going to teach against that. We're going to hold that in our garrison, but endurance, a lot of times, and I'm speaking first person now, and I don't know, maybe you can relate. Because of the fight, sometimes, because the fight gets so long and enduring, you pull in that arsenal to say, okay, I'm going to endure. I'm going to fight. But what happens is if you don't watch it, and I don't know, maybe this is just me, but if you don't watch it, you can put what you're confessing somewhere out there. Someday that's going to happen. You know, somewhere that's down the road, if I keep enduring because I got to keep fighting, and that's exactly right. You do have to keep fighting. But hope brings it into, and you got to have the collaboration of both of these have to be married. They have to absolutely be married, because if you're going to receive, all New Testament faith receives the answer present tense. It receives it right now. And if you cast it off out there in the future, you're always just kind of groping for it somewhere to take place. You have to bring it into existence and say, I believe that present tense, when I do this or when I speak this, I receive it right now. Right now, right now. Well, what if it doesn't happen right now? I don't care if it doesn't happen right now. You have to say, you have to believe right now, right now. And so you don't have to trade off either one of them. But if you're not watching it, you'll trade off that present tense, I'm going to receive it right now, for I'm just going to endure. I'm just going to keep going. So does that make sense? Okay. And I hope that gets through to you, because that expectation is so vitally, important. Okay. Come on, Bronk. Hallelujah. Don't let the willingness to endure long be traded off for the present tense, now hope, expectation. We're going to go to John in just a moment and read that first miracle of Jesus like we did last week. And I think that's so vitally important. I don't think I read this last week to you, but the definition, not the biblical definition, just the word definition of sudden means happening without previous notice or with a very brief notice, coming unexpectedly. Well, it would be, faith would expect it, but I'm just using a portion of this definition. Or without common preparation, immediate, instant, or speedy. So the one part here about sudden, one part about the definition of sudden that I think that we could kind of grasp hold of in this teaching is it happens, sudden happening without previous notice. Okay. Amen. And so there were several other scriptures that we listed last week. And so please, last week, if you didn't hear it yet, it's a good one. Amen. So we're going to turn with me to John chapter 2. We're going to look at that in just a moment. Jesus' first miracle. It's okay, John chapter 2. And you'll catch this in just a moment, and you're already getting the brief of it. Let's look at verse 1, and we're going to read down through the beginning of his miracles. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them with them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when the men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed him. So we'll stop right there, and that's all we need to read there. Just to rehearse just for a moment, this tells us that this was the beginning of his miracle ministry. The thing that I want you to understand, and what we said last week, but this is kind of a springboard to where we're going again tonight, is that this was his first miracle. This was his first miracle. John is different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are the synoptic gospels. They write a lot like each other. They record some of the same miracles the same way. John gives us a totally different, it all coincides. Even when we don't see it correctly, it's just fun to try to figure out those mysteries of how they all coincide. It's just wonderful knowing that the Word cannot contradict itself. John gives us, as I said last week, a different meeting place and time for the apostles. And I said that always, as I have studied, and I'm still studying and looking into the chronology of the actual, it just fascinates me, and I love it, just looking at how Jesus, what he did on an everyday basis, dovetailing all 4 gospels together. If you look at all the other 3 gospels, it's easy to think, and I know I've preached it myself, that he was just walking by the shore one day, and it does say this, and he said, follow me, and it seemed like, just not knowing who he was hardly, They just jumped out of their boat and just started following him. That's not how John actually records their first meeting. John actually talks about the two disciples, really he being one, and the other one, what was it, Andrew? We'd have to go back in chapter one. But anyway, they met Jesus based on John the Baptist's pronunciation of him. Then they go and find, you know, Peter and start telling Peter, and then he comes in the first, according to John, the first introduction that Peter ever has to Jesus is when Jesus meets him and he calls him, you know, the stone, the rock. And so it just goes into letting us know that behind the scenes, the way I understand this, before they ever left their boat, there was some preparation. Some of his apostles, some of his disciples, and that's another thing too, when you read the Gospels, not all of them at all times necessarily have joined the core. Not all of them, you know, all 12 just didn't come on in one day's time. It could have taken weeks, and it may have taken even a couple of months. I don't know exactly. But it says here that his disciples believed on him. This is the first time that they had seen him do a miracle. The amazing part is this. This is the first time that he had done a miracle. Now, up until this point, on his chronology, based on the other three Gospels, up to this point, he's been baptized by John. He's received the Holy Ghost. Then he goes out in the wilderness, face down the devil, comes back, and after that, then John also says something concerning him as he walks along the shore of the Jordan, the banks of the Jordan. So I say all that to say this. He has never performed a miracle. How many of you would think that turning water into wine is quite a miracle? And what I want you to see in relationship to this is that there's a first time for everything, right? Even for Jesus. And so we're coming in, we're launching into revival. We've seen some kind of notable things that have taken place, but up till this point, not a whole lot of us have seen the extreme, fantastic, notable miracles. Now, I think the molecular structure of H2O being changed into grape juice is pretty remarkable. I've never done that. But the Holy Ghost goes in to all those gallons of water and changes the molecular structure. And it's amazing because Jesus did not perform that out of his deity. The Logos did not do that. Man, which Christ, the man, trusting his Father and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, tells them what to do, and the waters change to wine. So I say that to say this, the same way he did it, we're going to do it also. Hallelujah. But there's a first time for everything. There was a first time for Jesus. And so his mother, he knew that his ministry had started because he'd already went into the wilderness. Not only did the devil meet him, but I bet there was an extreme amount of communication between he and his Father through the Holy Ghost. He just got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he goes into the wilderness. There had to be an extreme amount of communication about the launching of his ministry and what he was supposed to be doing. And so he knew that his now 30 years old, roughly, he knew now, I'm going to start this. But when he gets to his first miracle, his mom says, okay, do something. Do something. Well, she had never seen him do a miracle either, really. But she knew that he was special. Joseph didn't put him in there, the Holy Ghost. So she knew that something that was not born of man could do something about this. So do something. And he's like, my hour's not yet, but it was yet. It was now. Starts now. Listen, folks, revival starts now. Or it's already. It's already. I like the way, you know, I've preached even recently in the last year, but I see a change taking place in me, and I see a change taking place in all of us. not to speak of what is coming, but to speak of what now is. And our prototype coined it. I mean, if we have a hard time with that, well, Pastor, we're not. And I've even preached messages in the last year like, why do we not have revival? I could go back now and say, why we're not yet have the fullness of it. But Jesus coined it when, you know, in John chapter 4, when he's talking to the woman at the well, he said, woman, I love the way he said this because I get to adopt it. He said, the hour is coming and now is. The hour is coming and now is. How can two things be happening at once? Because he's saying the true worshipers are going to be fulfilled in the redemption, with a born-again nature, but the hour really is standing in front of you. It is manifest because I am that hour. I am the personification of that hour which is to come. So he goes, here's the marriage. The hour is coming and now is. I say revival is here now and is also coming in fullness. Praise God. And when we get that present tense, like, okay, we're going to run. Yeah, what are you doing? We're going to endure. We're going to endure. Amen. But do you believe it's happening now? Yes. Present tense. We have to walk. Only the Holy Spirit can do this, but when he's praying for us, don't you think that he's also impregnating us like he did Mary in our spirits? With an expectation that doesn't put things out there on a shelf, but brings it into the present tense and says, okay, what I'm believing for, I believe that it can happen presently, right now. Like right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. So, Matthew... There's a first time for everything. And so Jesus, we're going to turn to Matthew. Jesus had to come to a place where it was his first time. What about us? Okay, we've had, every one of us in this room could stand up and I prayed for mama, I prayed for daddy. The fever went, and I'm not saying, we'd all have some kind of testimony, okay? But I'm talking about water into wine, what we just confessed, limbs grow out, blind eyes, on and on and on. We've not yet seen all that, but there was a first time for Jesus too. Okay? So it did not matter that he did not have a previous resume. It did not matter that he did not have a 30-year record to say, okay, this is all going to come about because of my record. What are you saying? I'm saying that revival doesn't have to ramp up. We don't have to have a resume. We've already seen a lot of miracles take place. But we don't have to see some kind of ramping up resume or a record behind us for all of this thing that we call the kingdom or the outpouring to absolutely be manifest present tense. Hope says right now. And that's where much of the church has missed it for many years, is that we're reading a good book right now. Some of you probably already read it. Gary recommended it, and I texted him. I said, "What is there any reservations on this?" Man, he gave me it's an old one. It's F.F. Bosworth, right? And it's all about Christ. What's the name of it? Christ the Healer. You need to get it, okay? I'm going to let somebody else take care of that because there may be some available. But one thing that the old timers had 100 years ago is they had endurance, but part of their notable miracle, what eventually became their record, was that they believed it was now. It was right now. It's right now. And they were pregnant with that. They were believing for it to be right now. Amen. Hallelujah. This only exemplifies the example that I'm giving about there was a first time for Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 13. And look at verse 54, and when he was coming to his own country, that's Nazareth, he taught them in their synagogue, inasmuch as they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called, is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, that's Joseph Jr., I guess, and Simeon, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except or save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Okay, we're not talking about their unbelief right now. Our point is this, is that they couldn't receive him because he had no record with them. This is the kid that played stickball in our streets. This is the kid. He grew up here. We never saw any miracles with him. We never saw any mighty works. What is this that he's saying, and what is this that he's doing elsewhere? And so they would not receive him. Again, it's just another scriptural example that for Jesus, at some point, it began. At some point, it began. And that's part of the suddenly message. That's part of hope that says, okay, this is now. Not on just on those individual prayer requests, but on this great outpouring that we're believing for. I'll read this because it's better for me to read it. The ingredients of hope inside the definition of faith dictates a present tense expectation of the thing being believed for. Did everybody get that? I'll read it again. The ingredients, okay? A little salt, a little sugar, blah, blah. Okay, here's hope. Here's hope. The ingredients of hope inside the definition of faith dictates a present tense. It dictates. I mean, if you're going to have faith, it dictates a present tense expectation of the thing being believed for. Listen, you can't even, according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, even if it comes down the road, it also has to be present tense received. Whatsoever man desires when he prays, believe that you receive it, and that is present tense, and then you'll have whatsoever you... In other words, if it does... For whatever reasons, and it's not God that doesn't give it to you, present tense. Do you think he wants you in the infirmity like 1 minute past the time you pray? Not 1 minute. Not to teach you a lesson, not to give you a witness, not anything. The atonement took care of it right then. But whatsoever things that you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Even if it takes time through confession, listen, we come in here on Sunday nights and we've been doing it for 20 years, thereabouts. And it's endurance. And there's an A-plus effort, I believe, and God salutes us for endurance, for hufamene. And he says, yes, but do not ever trade off endurance. Don't trade off the endurance of confession. I say, keep that up. That has to be married to the present tense. Those two have to have a child, and that child is revival. Those two have to be married. You have to believe now, before the end of the service, before the end of Wednesday night service, they can rush in here, or the power of God can fall like it did on the day of Pentecost, and we're still all, I know we're all filled with the Holy Ghost here, but there could be astronomical, unequivocal things that could take place that we say, my God, go get somebody. Just go get somebody. I'm jonesing to let this power out. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Revival is to have a present tense belief. Anything included on the atonement is present tense, meaning it has already happened and can be expected to happen now. Everybody got that? I'm trying to write this so, and I believe if I follow the Lord, anything in the atonement, okay? Now, anything that he did, you know, we're confessing for an outpouring. But I know that you know this because I've said it before and I know that you agree. The first church at Jerusalem was not saying, I say Jerusalem is in revival. They were in what we call revival. The kingdom of God was in full manifestation. The blind were seeing, the lame was walking, and everything. It took years of the dictation of man, monasteries, priests and monks and a whole bunch of other junk to bury to take truth and bury it so that it was lost. It was absolutely lost. We're digging down and saying, okay, here's the truth. Oh, one of the truths is this. The atonement provided everything. So it's not when we say to God, God, revival is present tense. Well, I don't see it. God, revival is present tense because it's in the atonement. We're not asking anything about revival that's not already been done. It's already been done. You can't, it's not something that we're asking God to manufacture and decide on. This is the court's not out on this. The heavenly court's not out on this. The three members of that Supreme Court, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're not trying to make a decision on whether what he has already done should be reenacted once again in the earth. Hallelujah. That case has already been decided. So everything, put these little helpers on for a moment. Anything included in on the atonement is present tense, meaning it's already happened and can be expected to happen now, present tense. Now, I'll put this clause, unless there's an instruction from God concerning your personal life in which God says something like, okay, in 5 years, you're going to receive such and such. Well, you receive that word if you are living in faith, but it may take time for that to take place. If God says, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that in time to come, you receive that in faith. But the atonement is present tense. Our confession for revival is to be believed that it's now. It's now. And again, I'll read this. Don't trade your willingness for enduring confession for a present tense expectation of something happening right now. The country boy said rat now. That's R-A-T. That's quicker than right now. Okay? The redneck said rat now. Okay. Let me be kind, but don't get involved with fruitless. It's fruitless. Don't get involved with fruitless conversations of why. Why have we not seen it yet? Brother, if you're talking about the fullness, okay, I can understand, but I'm not going to even stay there with you. I'm not even going to hang around that doorpost. Revival is now. Why? Because the atonement's now. We're standing in that place of right now, and hope says it's right now. There's a fullness coming because there's always a progression. We're being changed from glory to glory. That'll always be the same. I mean, that truth will all be, but we have to stand in that place. Hallelujah. Fruitless conversations. There is a, and I said there's this transition that's taking place, and you've been hearing it about what are we supposed to be saying? Well, it's coming. Yes, okay. Amen. The fullness, because it is, there's going to be more than what we've got now. But I'm telling you, we have to stand and say now. Revival is now. Let me show you. Okay. Let him say. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10. How far down? Okay. Let me preface this by saying, because I want to give this its square due. I want to make sure that we don't get even a smidgen off here. This is in truth speaking, this Paul's argument to the unbelieving Jew. That's the foundation. To the unbelieving Jew that could not accept the present tense atonement of Christ, that he had really come. My friends across the street, I've talked to them enough. They're Jewish. And sad to say, they really don't know exactly what they do believe. But they do believe this. They still believe that that there is a anointed one that's coming. That there is a Messiah that is coming in the future. And that has existed, that theology or doctrine among the Jews has existed since Christ was here. That he wasn't the one for the nation itself. And so this was Paul's argument to the believer against the unbelieving. That's the foundation. But I'm going to tell you also that there's a very powerful fruit here, of which you've heard me mention several times before, and the fruit is just, it just bears right down on the root. And it also says volumes about fruitless conversations within the church when people start, well, why did they die? Well, why did this happen? Okay, first of all, I don't know everything. I really don't. But I can tell you, if 1,000 contradictions contradict this, what I have in my hand, it still is not proof positive of anything other than it was a contradiction against the truth, but the truth is still the truth. Well, why? You know what? I don't have time to stay there. I can't hang around that area. But I do know how to keep going forward. Now listen to what Paul says here. Follow on with me. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So the unbelieving, not believing in Christ, they really did have some may have a zeal for God. But not according to the knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of the truth, that is, being of Jesus Christ. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, which is now what we understand is the plan, the pure plan of salvation, the atonement through Jesus Christ, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And how does the righteousness of God come? Folks, we know that's through Jesus Christ, okay? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. And otherwise, this is what true righteousness, the righteousness which we dwell in, which is a faith in the atonement of Jesus Christ. This is the definition, or this is how it speaks. It speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? In parentheses, he says, that is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, continuing on with the original, don't say this in thine heart, who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? What saith what? True faith. What saith true faith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. So what he's saying is this: the word of true faith is in our hearts and in our mouth, and we speak Jesus crucified, buried, and resurrected, which is the completed work of salvation. What he's saying there against those that were in an argument, he was saying this, that their heart, and he said, don't go along, don't ever slide into any trap. Their heart says this, he's not come yet. Because he names two things. He names his dissension and his ascension. not in that order, but he names them both. And what he says is this, what we know is this, when he died, when he made the atonement through his blood, it was necessary, absolute necessary, that he not only die physically, but he died spiritually. In other words, that 3 days of suffering was his spirit person actually suffering and burning against, for the punishment of all mankind. When that was complete, the life of God, which we call it the born-again nature, birthed him back into life, then puts him back in a glorified body, and then after 40 days, he ascends to the right hand of the Father. The whole deal is complete. Every facet of it is complete. And he's saying to those that were the scoffers, or to the multitude of Israel, their heart was, the whole discussion of everything, or the whole fight was, he hasn't come. And the one you're trusting in is not the real one. He's saying, for us who believe, this whole thing, this deal's been wrapped up, sealed, and it's done forever. Don't ever question. Don't say in thine heart, when is he going to do this? That's what they're saying. Now the fruit, here's the fruit. The fruit of that is this, to the church. If we don't believe that it's right now, then we're looking for something for him to... Listen, let me use some good old-fashioned Immokalee grammar. There ain't going to be no more. He ain't doing nothing else. Ain't no more. It's complete. He's never, ever going to... You can't, through all your tears... Through all of your anguish, through all of your agony, through all of your twisting of your emotions, you can't get him to come and pronounce something on you or do something for you that hasn't already been done. It's a done deal. So to the root of it, it's like they're saying it never has happened. But for us, the church, don't fall into the trap of expecting, like, well, I just don't know why. Forget your why. I don't know all things either. I'm not standing up here saying this. I do know one thing, that even if there's no previous record, even if I have not done great and mighty, per se, notable miracles, my record or my resume does not change this almighty Word of God. And if I'm in a convention or a conference, let me put it this way, and there's, and I'm not running down anybody, and I don't really have anybody in mind, thank God, but if the conference moderator says, look, we're going to have some testimonies among the preachers tonight, and then we're going to let these preachers pray for you. If one of my brothers stood up and said, well, praise God, I've done a 5-year stint down in the Congo, and... I want to tell you that I have seen 15 raised from the dead, and I have seen blind eyes beyond count have been opened, and I've seen arms grow out, legs grow out, and demons cast out of people, and God has used me in this, you know, mighty working miracle, and everybody's going, glory to God, and they should. Well, praise God. And the crowd goes wild. Well, Pastor Flint, well, I want to tell you, I've seen some miracles. I've been blessed by God to be used in praying for the sick. I've seen fever leave people pretty quick after I prayed. I've seen a lot of people healed. I've seen some people healed of cancer that we prayed for. I mean people that were terminally ill. I have seen some healed. But I've also got to tell you, I've seen a lot die. A present tense, up till hitherto four, I've seen more die than live that I prayed for, as far as those terminal diseases. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you, I'm trusting in this almighty Word of God. And my stance is this: it doesn't matter hitherto for what my previous record was. There's a first time for everything. Jesus had his first notable miracles. I'm believing God. It doesn't matter if I pray 1,000 times. I'm telling you, I'm not standing on previous or past record. There's a first time for everything, and I'm willing to pray for anybody that believes. Amen. Now, if there was a line over here and a line over there, I'll guarantee you most people would rush to the record, and that's okay. But I'm telling you, we don't have to have any previous record of notable miracles. We don't have to ramp up to this thing. This thing is promised right now, and it's ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God. Well, come on over here and let's talk about why these things ain't happened. No, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. And you won't get nowhere either if you talk like that. You won't get no place. It's got to be received right now if it's ever going to be received down the road. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Woo! I think we're done for tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I got a little preach on me there. That's okay. Hallelujah. We'll just put one offering basket up here. If you have anything tonight, we'd sure be blessed. Hallelujah. Don't forget, Sunday night, we're going to have a good time. Hallelujah. And also remember two names, Stephen and Taylor. Those are that's that couple that's coming here. Please be on your best behavior. Amen. And just act like you just love each other beyond me. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give. We thank you for this teaching tonight and all that you've done in us and through us. For you are the one, and you alone are worthy to receive all praise. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you thanksgiving. Immokalee is in present tense. Revival. Revival. Thank you for it, Father. And we receive all the blessings thereof in Jesus' name. Amen.